What's up, Brendan?
I'm back, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast is also back. It's episode 167. How's the new Wine Country bunker?
The new Wine Country bunker is great. It is the best bunker I've built yet. Unfortunately, it is running on Comcast internet and Wi-Fi, so still waiting on a solid internet connection. So yeah. Hopefully this recording works okay.
Yeah, seriously, not a thing, or at least their service and customer service ratings are definitely not a thing, as we've talked about in the past. So we're gonna keep going. I'm happy to have you back on the air. Last week was fun with Todd and Jason on the air. Hope those folks and folks that listen to that week's show enjoyed it and are not, I don't know, I guess not disappointed that you're back.
Yeah, no, it was a nice treat to be able to listen to the show and not know what was going to happen. I don't often listen these days, but it was really fun. I really enjoyed it as a listener, and I think they did a great job speaking in my stead. There were multiple times that I was yelling at my stereo when someone asked a question to, like, oh, I wonder what this, or I mean, this was like, no, it's the other thing. So that was a different experience. I almost wanted to record a commentary track for the podcast.
Is that a thing? Can you do that?
But it's fun.
Recorded commentary for an audio show? Is that...
It's just like splicing myself in there. But no, I really enjoyed it. I'd really like to have them both back on, either as, you know, a duo or individually or both. I mean, I have them on as much as I want. I thought they did a great job.
Right on.
I did think it was interesting that the week I was not here, you had Jason Todd on.
You know, I didn't even realize that until after the show. I realized it when I was signing off, and I thought it in my head, and I'm like, am I going to make that reference? Are either of these guys going to get it?
I think my only gripe is when you guys were talking about Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
I was really disappointed in you, Alan.
I know what you're referring to.
Star Trek V, The Undiscovered
yes.
Country?
No, you're right.
No, Alan. You no. know that's not true. I'm going to give you the opportunity now to correct it without me correcting you.
I was correcting Todd because he called it the Forgotten Country. And that is, and then I'm like, I knew he meant the Undiscovered Country, but that's 6.
Yes.
Yes.
Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. William Shatner's circle jerk movie that he directed.
Oh, yes. It doesn't make it that much better, honestly.
No, it doesn't.
Six was kind of, it was, well, okay.
Six, I would put up there with Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, I like Six. I probably attribute most of that to Christopher Plummer.
Yeah. Space Shakespeare.
Yes.
Whatever you want.
Cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war.
No, but I appreciate being given the opportunity to take a week off to take care of some business. But now we're back. No more interruptions for yes. the foreseeable future.
Yes, we're happy to have you back, and we're happy to have Todd and Jason, or Todd or Jason, on the air again, or maybe you, lucky listener, if you're on kind of the internet, and I would assume you are if you were listening to this podcast, and you'd like to be on the show, just let us know. We certainly think it's a thing to have a guest for the show, so let us know, tweet at us, Facebook us, let us know via the website, notathingpodcast.com. Google is modifying how some of their stuff works. So, I don't know, not that we really advocated Google Plus as a direction, but we do use Google Hangouts as our recording medium of choice, given that Brendan and I are not geolocated at the same place. But we noticed something this week that that Google did, which there used to be an option where you could, in the Hangout, watch a YouTube video together, and it would synchronize them, so you would you would see them at the same time, but it it cut the audio, so you wouldn't hear each other kind of laughing or snarking at it, unless you, you know, did the push to talk button in order to override the audio that was there. And I don't know, we've used it a number of times in the pre-show to discuss stuff, and also just to laugh at funny videos on the internet, like you do, because that's a thing. It's gone. That feature is gone. I mean, maybe it's hidden in some menu somewhere, but in which case they've destroyed the discoverability of that feature. But hopefully it's still around. We just got to figure out where it is.
Congratulations, Google. You've made something even worse. Again.
But please don't get rid of Hangouts, because we totally love those things.
We could go to Skype and you know it.
Well, well, Skype is owned by Microsoft now. So it's just one large conglomerate internet video chat thing to another. So we'll see how that goes. But speaking of large conglomerates, or large conglomerates of data, or otherwise, maybe something that acts as a proxy for those things. There was an interesting story last week it was a commentary about a phenomenon called the elf on the shelf. And I had actually never heard of this as a thing, but it started in, I think it's 2005 or so. Have you heard of it, Brendan?
I've heard of it. I'm not super familiar with it, though.
Okay, so the short form...
I know, it's creepy.
Yeah, the short form is Elf on a Shelf is a book, and it comes with an accompanying doll. And the story is the elf is the kind of informant proxy for Santa Claus. Yes, so the elf is in different places in the house and is always kind of doing something somewhat mischievous, but is always looking to see if the people in the house, well, the children in the house anyway, are being nice or naughty, and relaying that information back as it goes. And if you are there's some rules around the elves, because you can't like interrupt them or mess with them, because it destroys their magic. So they're always just around and watching. And the person that wrote the article was making the case that this is a proxy for the or has the effect of normalizing the surveillance state of American like companies and agencies and stuff like that, which I thought is hilarious, because it totally fits with our kind of view on the podcast. But it really is just excessively creepy to have this thing watching you at all times.
Yes, you got to teach them young. It's okay to let people watch you.
Right, right. It normalizes the surveillance state by essentially just being this thing that happens at Christmas. Yeah, there's this elf that watches me all the time. And I know that Santa, you know, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. It's like, oh yeah, I guess that does kind of have a big brothery aspect to it. And if you, and this is just reinforcing it. It's a kind of more modern story. It's not just the song, it's this thing. And the thing that disturbed me most about it was that it apparently is has the folks that that publish it have written a like teacher's guide, like a classroom guide, if you want to do the Elf on the Shelf in your classroom. And that's just, I feel like that's not okay. I think encouraging that kind of also, first of all, just encouraging that there's a person or a thing kind of watching you all the time for kind of compliance's sake is
like God?
No. Yes, like God, very much like God in this case. It's like, and it also is just more, you know, annoying if you're looking at it from a disclosure point of view, Because is that a real thing or is that a fiction thing? And if it's a fiction thing, is it okay to blur the line that much between what's real and what's not, and then have to kind of potentially walk that back eventually? You could say like God again right here and that.
It was implied.
But yes, the Elf on the Shelf, I think, as a way to sell kind of books, I think it's a funny story. I think it's really kind of cute. I think it does have an element of creepiness and has too much of a potential to do harm than good.
It's only been around for 10 years.
Yeah.
Let's see the data in, I don't know, 20 years and see if there's a skyrocketing amount of voyeurism.
You mean there isn't enough voyeurism right now?
No, even more.
We were just talking about, you know, watching stuff on YouTube and laughing at it. I mean,
I was thinking sexually, but whatever. Giving a bunch of kids voyeurs and fetishes. Elf on the Shelf.
Oh, it's not impossible. Not impossible. Kind of moving from... actually, this is somewhat... It's somewhat, not exactly voyeuristic, but it is a really interesting kind of observation anyway. I guess observing something requires you to see it, and that was my segue. Why am I explaining the segue? That's really bad. moving on.
Segues are like jokes. If you have to explain them, they're not good.
Right, yes. It's very key. Very key. On another note, a sports writer was writing about something other than sports. I guess he travels extensively as part of his job, and one of the things he's noticed is that Marriott hotels in particular have done away with desks in a lot of their rooms. Desks are, I don't know, I feel like I still see desks when I go, when I travel and I stay in hotels, although I have been at rooms where they've removed, or they have just like a very, very tiny desk. It's just like the smallest amount of a table. And then the thing that they'll remove is like the fridge. They won't even have the mini fridge that like sells you out if you lift something up out of it. There's just no fridge in the room at all. So you'd have to do room service if you wanted anything. But not having a desk in the room is weird, and it's an interesting argument. He goes on for quite a bit, so it's kind of, I think it's kind of surprising, article-wise. This is something that I feel would have done well on Grantland, rest in peace for Grantland. the rationale for it is that millennials who are, you know, the next generation and probably going to be spending more and more time in hotels as their parents try to kick them out of their houses. But in the meantime, they are saying that no, they're not going to work in the room. They'd rather just kind of hang out in the room. So they will allocate like a second couch to the hotel room. But I actually agree with the author on this. I don't think having another couch in the room is really a plus to anybody. I think.
Well, it sounds like you need more friends, Alan.
I don't hang out in the hotel room like as much as I think people are purporting to. I don't know, but on second thought, I'm also not a millennial.
I am, and I think, keep the desks. People who use hotels often are conducting business. They should be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there has been a trend, if you look at kind of stock photography, for people using their computers not at a desk. So one of my wife's personal favorites is when the... the person is using their computer, sitting cross-legged on the floor, and the computer is on the ground, and they're like, you would be leaning over to look at it, and that's just not, it's not a thing. It's amazingly uncomfortable to do for anything more than even just web browsing. It's just not a thing to use a computer in that way. Get a desk. Keep say yes to desks in hotels. It does sound eerily like a
get off my lawn.
Like a yes. There is an aspect of that, and there was an even more inflammatory, like, anti-millennial article that came out last week. I don't know. We don't really need to talk about it, but it was just calling them crybabies and bagging on them for many pages. I read it and laughed to myself, but it's I don't know. I don't like getting down on a group of people. I mean, I already get enough, like, oh, back in my day kind of noise from, you know, from just like different things in my life. I don't want to try and, you know, blame it on an entire generation of people. it just makes me feel old, so I would rather not do that.
Join us, Alan. Come play with us.
Yeah. So the article kind of purports to the as a kind of conspiracy against people that want to do business in hotels, but as we learned this week, this is not a new thing. This is not a millennials thing. In 1944, the CIA published a manual for it's the Simple Sabotage Field Manual, and it was recently declassified, and it's great. There's an article where they have a link to the entire manual that was scanned in and turned to PDF, but they excerpted some choice bits about slowing down like work at a place, and this was meant for CIA folks that have infiltrated a country and are living in that country. You know, it's not like the sleeper cell kind of thing where they'll be activated and then like assassinate someone. This is just kind of everyday sabotage that you would do if you were embedded in a country. And it has a section about if you're working at a business, the ways you can derail that business and you know, hurt the GDP of the country. But it's really hilarious. They have tips at the executive level, at the manager level, and at the regular worker level. And I highly recommend checking these out, only because these tips totally work. We have not moved that far since 1944 when these tips were written. So it has stuff like, if you're a manager, continually rotate people onto tasks that don't matter, or have a set of goals, but then really focus on the minutiae goals, the ones that like are throwaway kinds of tasks, but then leave kind of wide open the bigger kind of projects to, so the worker has to stumble around and then eventually get penalized for not doing a good enough job. And then at the worker level, there were things like, you know, just take twice as long to do everything and don't
blame your equipment. Don't right. do your job right. Don't tell anyone your skills, which kind of sounds like a corporate environment. So I don't know if that's how that has just been spread everywhere, but yeah.
I think it's funny. I think, I don't know, maybe this was too declassified. Maybe maybe people have already heard of this, because I feel like I've run into companies that were very much filled with these CIA operatives.
That would explain some people that I've worked with at past employers.
Well, in any case, the CIA has all of those tricks to make business kind of work more poorly. But the folks behind the Raspberry Pi just made some tools which may not make business work more poorly, but if you're more poor, you can do more interesting computing things. The Raspberry Pi, as we've talked about in the past, is kind of a cool project computer thing. You can run a fair amount of computing power in something pretty low cost. I think the regular price for a Raspberry Pi is like $40. You'll probably end up spending closer to like $75 if you add like the memory card and the Wi-Fi module and other things that you'd want to make it, if you don't already have them, you know, to hook them up to a monitor and everything else. But the they're neat because they're pretty small. They don't have a lot of power requirements, and you can run the rudiments of an operating system. Like you can run a Linux operating system for sure, but I think even Windows or Microsoft has come out with a Windows 10 that will run on the higher powered Raspberry Pis. So they've become kind of a popular tool in schools to get kids into computing. You can put computers in a lot more things, which kind of further that Internet of Things kind of idea. I mean, I've used a Raspberry Pi as a media center. I've used it as a arcade emulator. That's actually the primary use of it for the Raspberry Pi that I have. But the Raspberry Pi, the folks behind it, and I think they were this was also bankrolled by I'm not going to remember. Ooh, I don't remember. I'll link it in the show notes. But it was someone kind of corporate, which was good that they're sponsoring the Raspberry Pi Zero, which is a version of the Raspberry Pi that still has a lot of the stuff. It has a USB port. It has an HDMI out. It's a mini HDMI, so you have to use an adapter to plug it to a TV. But otherwise, it's got a fair amount of horsepower and can run a lot of the older Raspberry Pi kind of project board things. But it's like the size of a It looks like two matchboxes put together, and it's $5. I mean, for that price, I'm sure shipping is more than that if you bought one. So you should buy like a bunch of them, and then donate them to a school or buy a bunch of them and turn everything in your house into an internet-enabled device. I think it's cool. I think depending on the horsepower of it, I could easily see that as something that I would put in different parts of the house. Like one project that I've seen with a Raspberry Pi is using it to act as a wireless what's the word I'm talking about? It's a source for a speaker system. So extending a speaker system through Wi-Fi. I do this in my house using Apple's AirPlay enabled like AirPort and Apple TV. So I hook speakers up to those devices and I can play music in multiple rooms in my house simultaneously using that. Those cost considerably more than $5. So I could see, you know, a lot of projects using essentially a computer that costs $5. That's fantastic.
It's definitely a thing.
What are you going to do with your Raspberry Pi Zero if you get one?
I don't know. Probably find some way to incorporate that into making actual pies. Like some sort of, I don't know.
I like it. I like the idea. It's good. Pies
like
are a thing.
Meta pie.
Meta pie. totally a thing. Moving from, let's see, can I do this? No.
Can he do it? No, he can't.
Well, I mean, a Meta Pi, a Pi is kind of, it's composed.
Webster's Dictionary defines pie as. No.
No. Instead, we will just move to the news that the Pentagon has ordered the Secretary of Defense, and his name is Ash Carter, which is a great name for someone who works in defense. I think that's great.
I really wish he had a chainsaw hand.
But in any case, he has ordered that all combat jobs be made available to women. It was kind of somewhat a surprise, but not really that much of a surprise to me, that women were denied access to being in combat in a lot of situations. I know we talked about it in the past that there was like a group of women who had passed the all the physical fitness tests that they would need to be like Army Rangers. I know the Marines specifically are trying to keep women out, citing that they're that it, you know, a mixed gender fighting force is a less effective fighting force. I'm not sure I kind of grok that, but in any case, they were the entire armed forces were ordered to take steps to integrate the armed forces entirely to allow women access to combat jobs. I am 100% for this. I think it's a thing. I'm surprised it's taken this long to kind of pull it together, but it's 100% a thing. If someone can do the job, they should do that job. I'm not at all opposed to that on any grounds at all.
No, definitely a thing.
Yeah. I think, you know what? Now that I think about it, there is a link, because at the end of the story, the last person they quoted was talking about how there's a pool of candidates, and that pool of candidates is the entire population of the United States of America, and to only use half of it, you know, half of the pie, as it were.
Who wants half of a pie?
Right. It's a silly idea. Everyone wants the whole pie, so they should choose from the whole pie. Hear, hear. See? You kind of back that one into the last.
Can you retroactively just retcon a transition?
I don't know. Maybe not. But you know who is good at retconning his history and his story? It's our friend, our not really friend.
No.
No, actually, our friendship is not a thing. He's 100% not a thing. We're talking, of course, about Donald Trump, who had a banner week for headlines. I think he's got
for headlines and shitheadedness.
Yes. Yes, there've been a lot of buzz around Donald Trump again this week because of comments that he's made, but also from a video that that you found that I think is great. We talked about it before the show, it was in that thing where we couldn't let each other see it because of the Google Plus like brokenness. Sorry, Google Plus, but this was great. It's I guess he was runner up for Person of the Year for Time Magazine. Do you know who is the Person of the Year? I actually don't.
I don't either.
Okay, I'm sure we'll see it. It'll be in some other news.
I don't even know if they've announced it yet. I think he's on the list of people that they are potentially going to choose.
Oh, God. Time Magazine. I know someone who works there. I might have to bug her and tell her to burn everything related to Donald Trump. But in any case, so Donald Trump shot a series of photos, and someone had the good sense to take video behind the scenes of it, and the photos are of him and a bald eagle. So they didn't like Photoshop in the eagle. He's the eagle is actually in the office. So he's like sitting on Trump's arm, is sitting on the desk with him, and At numerous points in the video, the eagle takes umbrage against Mr. Trump.
Yeah, I wanted to bring the story to light, not to highlight Donald Trump, because fuck that hairpiece.
Yeah.
And I mean that as him calling him as a person a hairpiece, not his specific hairpiece. But to celebrate this beautiful bird, whose name is Uncle Sam.
It is not. Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Do you have to name all eagles Sam? Is that just like a... like? You have to, right? There are only so many of them. You might as well give them good, upstanding, patriotic names.
Yeah. But, oh, and I do have a correction on the what we just said.
Oh,
got to be the around. They did announce the person of the year. It's Angela Merkel.
Oh, German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Trump. That's good.
I think we've had some stories in the past about how she's kind of pro surveillance state. So that's not awesome, but hey, Time Magazine, you do your thing. We have our podcast, so we'll keep talking about it. But this bald eagle was not like super into being in some of these shots. I think it messed up Trump's hair a few times, kind of snapped at him a little bit. I think did really, really a service for all Americans everywhere, and kind of showed that, you know, Trump should not be in control of anything, let alone this country. But someone pointed out this just really, I mean, multiple people have actually, now that I think about it, but for Donald Trump, I mean, the thing that is most galling to me is that it's very likely he's going to lose. I think we don't have to go out on a limb to say that electorally, but the thing that that he's generated, the people that he's generated, the fans of his, the folks that are polling and saying that they stand with Donald Trump, those people are still going to be around when Trump kind of goes away for another, you know, however much long time he can stand to be out of the spotlight. And that's not a thing. I think people have to realize more about, you know, why they say the things that they say, and really talk with people and not just kind of get behind and cheer for the demagoguery that that Trump is selling. So I really hope that more people talk to more people, really, about politics and things that matter. It's certainly a theme on the show for having some critical thinking. I think a lot of critical discussion would help as well.
Yeah, at least now he has brought out the people who support him, and now you know who they are, and you can now avoid those people.
Yes. Yes. If there's anything that that is good from that, I think it's pushing to the forefront of the news media anyway, just how kind of crazy and polarizing he and a lot of the GOP field are. Just really going for the us against them kind of mentality, black and white kinds of views of things, and how I mean, that's not just a saying that things aren't just black and white. There really are nuances, and understanding and kind of appreciating those nuances and not running from them is a thing. So we're closing the show up on such a like strong and, you know, kind of powerful note. It must be the end of the Bucktoon.
Yeah, we're getting towards the end. We only have what, probably two or three more episodes, and one of those is going to be a Star Wars extravaganza. So
So I've had numerous people ask me if they can be on the show for that. I wonder how many we can have on a hangout. Is that even, or if that's even like doable to have more?
Bring
than
them like, all. Bring them all.
Well, we'll see. In any case, Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.